This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello and welcome to David's Book Talk, and boy, we have a special guest today. I've been looking forward to this for months. Her name is Tippi Hedren. Yes, the Tippi Hedren. She's got a new memoir out from William Morrow called Tippi. Hello.
Hello.
I love saying that name.
Well, thank you.
That's a beautiful name.
Well, I like to hear it, too.
I would think you get a lot of questions from people asking you what that name means and where it came from.
It doesn't mean anything. My baptismal name is Nathalie K. Hedren, and that's kind of a lot for a little child, you know. So my daddy, Ben Hedren, started calling me Tupsa, which is it's a Swedish term of endearment, and that went from Tupsa to Tips to Tippi. And I have never been called Nathalie. Yeah. I'm sure if anybody said that name, I would not even turn around, you know.
You're like, what's that name?
Where?
Before this interview, I was watching The Birds, and I was also watching some of your screen tests with Martin Balsam. That was all fascinating stuff.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
It was like, what are they doing to her? Are they, like, baiting her? It's like... Like, what are they doing to this poor woman?
Hitchcock really tried so hard to break me, you know, to make me scream and run out of the, you know, get me out of here. I don't want to do this anymore. Do something. And I thought, oh, well, he's, you know, what he's doing, I don't know why, but go ahead. Have your fun, you know.
Just from reading this book, I just feel that you have such patience. I have never read a book where I just felt the patience that you have had your whole life. Have you always been like that?
I guess. I probably feel it more interiorly. Is that a word?
I don't know.
Well, it is now.
It sounded good anyway, so...
But, you know, I kind of just try to work with what is coming at me, you know.
So
it's been fascinating, I must say.
Well, your love for animals is just amazing. I mean, just reading, you know, about the tigers and the lions and the leopards and all the different animals that you... It's just, I'm just amazed at the love that you have for animals.
Yeah, I do, and I always have. You know, since I was little.
Where did it come from? Did your parents like love animals? Did they?
Well, my daddy did. My mother, you know, didn't want the dog or the cat in the house, which broke my heart. But I won her over.
You've won a lot of people over over the years. Well, just watching The Birds, it's just so beautiful in that movie. And I can't imagine that you don't, you know, don't have that same beauty inside and out today.
Well, I can't answer that for you. But I have to tell you, though, we have a huge flock of raven who live at the Shambhala Preserve. It's huge. Because we eat, you know, we serve meat to all of these animals, and the raven is a meat eater. And so they have found heaven here.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, they do, and they'll walk right along with the staff as they feed the lions and tigers. And, you know, they'll go right into the compounds, and, you know, many of them get killed because they're right there with eating with the lions and tigers.
It's
scary.
Are you fearless? Are you totally fearless, Tippi?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And where did that come from?
No, but you know what? It's a great gift. You know, I have my first days, you know, that I was, and I was a volunteer for an organization called Food for the Hungry, and mm-hmm. we went around the world helping people that were in dire straits from flood to, you know, whatever, you know.
Thank you for that. What a wonderful thing to do for people.
But at one point, point, we flew a plane down from L.A. to Central America because the earthquakes had decimated that area. And we flew a plane down, and we brought a huge amount of medications down, so we weren't flying an empty plane. And then from then on, we flew all over Central America delivering foods and clothing and all kinds of things. And at one point, the pilot got sick, and he got so sick he had to go back to the States. And the co-pilot said, "Tippi, I'm going to have to teach you how to fly, because I can't fly this plane alone."
Oh, yeah.
And so my heart just went, woo! And first he taught me how to read the clouds, because that's terribly important when you're flying. Because if you fly into a cloud that's the wrong one, your whole plane would be end up in, you know, pieces. So first he taught me the plane, and then he taught me the instrument panel, and so I was just having hours and hours of flight instruction.
But did you ever feel like, I can't do this, I just can't do this, or did it?
Never. In fact, the day that he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "Will you take over?" We were both sitting, you know, in the cockpit. He said, "Tippi, will you take over? I'm going back for coffee." I just went, "Woo!"
And that's a scary moment.
Oh, it was fabulous.
I can imagine how wonderful it must have felt, but I mean, to know that you had somebody's lives in your hands, and you know, if something went wrong, you know, you'd never forgive yourself.
Well, no, I probably wouldn't be here to talk about it.
And that's true too. But you've had more than a few moments like that in your life where you have been in situations where you could have been killed.
Yes. Yes, and dealing with the big cats has certainly been a couple of those.
And those cats, and all the reading, just reading the whole process of making Roar, it was just an amazing. I was reading it last night while I was watching the election returns. That's true. That's absolutely true. And I'm just sitting there enjoying the book, and it's I'm thinking, how are they ever going to get this made? And I'm feeling the frustration that you were feeling, and not quite as much as you were, I'm sure, but that frustration is just, as you read the book, you feel that frustration. I feel like, wow, how did she get through this? I mean, and it's like going, you're having things thrown at you, and you don't know what's coming next.
No, and I still don't.
I mean, I hope you don't mind me saying this, you're 86 years old.
I am.
I mean, you don't sound 86 years old.
Good.
And yet,
I don't ever want to.
Maybe you're really 46, and it's just
I lie about my age. Yeah, right.
Did you, making the birds, did you enjoy the whole experience besides what happened with Hitch? I mean, but in general, acting, was that a fun experience, acting?
Well, yes, it was, and of course I had the best director in the world, and he was not only my director, he and his wife, Alma, were my drama coaches at the beginning, and it was just an amazing time, really amazing.
Well, how?
And I was working with consummate actors, you know, so it was...
I didn't realize Morgan Brittany was in that film.
And she was a little girl.
I'm like, Morgan Brittany, the one that was, I'm seeing Ruth McDevitt in the first scene. I'm like, Ruth McDevitt, I know her. She became a really famous character actress.
Oh, yes. Wasn't she marvelous?
Well, she's always been, she's got that something about her that was just wonderful. You just wanted to go up and hug her.
Yeah, when she was doing that bar scene, we all just were just thrilled to watch her.
I can imagine. Yeah. Well, I mean, but acting was fun for you in that movie. But I mean, what you went through, watching that scene in the bedroom, and
that was a little cruel.
Cruel, a little cruel. I mean, watching it, I'm just horrified looking at the thing, and looking at it, what, and I'm feeling, and all that blood that was on your face, was some of that real?
Yeah, the one around my eye was. Yeah. Yeah, that took 5 days to film that, and by the end of the 5 days, I was down on the floor. You know, I had just my character had just completely exhausted herself from fighting off the birds, and I was lying on the floor, and they loosely tied the birds, you know, the ravens and the gulls, to me, and one of them was fairly close, you know, on my shoulder. and he jumped. You know, they were tied loosely so that they wouldn't look like they were pulling their feet. And one of them moved and jumped, and his claw got way too close to my eye, and I said, okay, I'm done.
I bet. I mean, that's a scary moment. You could lose your eye, and that's a major.
Oh, yes, easily.
And then there goes your career right down the tubes. If you lose your eye.
Yeah, my face, everything, you know. So I got him off, and, you know, and I was so tired. I just sat in the middle of the stage and cried.
I love that scene where you're sitting there with your head on. I think it's Jessica Tandy's shoulder, is it? Is that Jessica Tandy?
Yes.
I just love watching that. It's just, and you.
Thank you.
I felt such a sense of relief. Like, God, she's going to be okay.
And
because reading the book, I know what you went through. So it adds so much more to the movie. That's why I wanted to watch the movie again, because I wanted to see that. And of course, one of the famous scenes in that movie is at the gas station. God, that scene scares me when I watch it.
Oh,
the cigarette,
yeah,
putting the cigarette down, and the whole thing goes up. You are one of the bravest women I've ever read about.
Oh, thank you.
But I wonder how you got through it. I mean, how did you get to the point where you just want to go in and kill Alfred Hitchcock?
Well, there were a couple times that entered my mind, but, you know, then you end up in jail, and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That might be a little bit of a problem.
You have to go, do I really want to do this? I mean,
we've all felt that rage at some point in our lives, I guess.
Absolutely. You're not human if you don't.
Have you ever felt that toward anybody else? Not that I want you to name any names, but have you ever felt that with anybody else?
Not to that extent, no. No. He wins. He wins on that one.
And it's funny, I mean, over the years watching, you know, I loved watching Alfred Hitchcock Presents and the movie Psycho, of course. And I wonder, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I wonder if he's ever been that way to any other women.
Apparently he has. And they went away angry and didn't ever want to see him again.
I'm thinking to myself, what did Janet Leigh go through? What did Vera Miles go through?
Yeah.
What? I mean, and she was in
That I don't know, but I think there were some very, very uncomfortable situations. And, you know, he kind of reveled in that kind of thing, and watching everybody, how they would react to different situations.
Right. Now, Birds came after Psycho, right? Like 4 years after Psycho, was it?
Yes. We all remember Psycho.
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, I had nightmares after I saw that the first time I saw it. Literally nightmares.
Oh, well, it was...
Well, I think I watched it too young. I think I was in my early teens when I saw it, so I was much
too young. Oh, yeah, I was way too young. Yeah, you have to sort of know life a little bit more to take that without, to take Psycho without freaking out. Completely.
It was an amazing movie, and of course, so was The Birds, and then you had Marnie you did with Sean Connery, and you've worked with a lot of famous, good-looking actors.
Aren't I fortunate?
But you never seem to really fall in love with them. I mean, not to the point where...
How do you know?
Oh, well, maybe you did. I'm just going by the book. It doesn't seem like you really, you know...
No, I would never talk about a thing like that.
No.
No. Mm-mm.
But, I mean, it would be so easy to do, as good-looking as Rod Taylor was and Sean Connery was. And
yes, absolutely.
Who were some of the others that you worked with that were really good-looking?
Well, I think those two were the cream.
People still talk about Sean Connery. I think he's retired now, but...
I think he has, too. I haven't talked to him in a long, long time. He was in the Virgin Islands, I believe. But I don't know... I don't know. I haven't heard anything from him or about him or seen him around or anything.
You know what?
We're about the same age,
right? And, you know what? It's such a pleasure to talk to you. I know that sounds trite, but it is absolutely the most wonderful thing to hear your voice and to talk to somebody. You're almost like royalty to me.
Well, that is the nicest thing I've heard all day.
I mean, it's just like you. I've seen you over the years. I know Melanie Griffith. I've watched Melanie Griffith's movies. And
how about my granddaughter?
And Dakota Johnson, yes, indeed. And I watched her in a movie with Rebel Wilson the other day, and I thought,
oh, yeah?
this woman has some talent.
Oh, indeed she does.
And she lights up the screen. I mean, she's just very. I assume she's doing the second Fifty Shades of Grey movie now.
Yes.
Or second or third. I guess she'll be doing three of them, right?
Yeah. Melanie's over in Spain with her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, how cool. Melanie gets around, doesn't she?
Oh, she loves to try. She just gets on a plane.
I love when she came back to do Roar after she had quit. I thought, what another brave woman. It's like, this whole family is such brave people.
Runs in the genes.
Is your sister the same way?
Not at all. Not at all, no.
They sort of missed her, I guess.
Yeah, it did. Well, there's nobody in my family that's ever been an actor or even thought about it.
I looked in the IMDb. You have like 84 credits. That's amazing, 84. But did Hitch ever really blacklist you to the point where nobody would hire you?
Yeah, he did. He kept me under contract, and he told me, he said, because when I said I want to get out, I have to get out of this career, this contract. He said, well, you can't. You have your daughter to take care of.
And he enjoyed that, didn't he?
Oh, yes. And he kept me under contract for quite a while. I'm trying to think how long it was, but it wasn't that, you know, it wasn't years. It was months.
So you worked with him on The Birds and Marnie and what else? Was there anything else?
With him? No. Huh?
Nothing. That was just those two movies?
Those two. Those two little movies, yes.
No, they weren't little movies, that's for sure.
No, they weren't.
I didn't mean it that way, if it sounded that way. But I don't know how you got through working with him. I just can't even imagine the horror of it.
Well, I don't know. I think my parents instilled in me something that gave me the guts to handle
anything, really.
Really.
I mean, the scenes in Roy that you were filming and when you got bit.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, what must that have felt like? All you can think of is, what would it feel like to be bitten by a lion?
Yeah, it hurts. I can tell you, it hurts.
I can imagine it hurts.
But my crew was so wonderful that they protected me a lot.
You have a lot of people that care about you.
I am.
How does that feel?
Very good. Very good.
I mean, listening to your voice, you have so much life left in you. I mean, I've talked to you.
I still do, yeah.
Yeah, I can hear it. I can sense it. I mean, it's there. And I've talked to other actresses, and they don't sound like they have as much life as you do. I mean, and you know, I remember when I interviewed P.D. James, she's a very famous mystery writer. She was late 80s, I think, just about your age almost, and she had a lot of life left in her too, but I mean, there are some that you can hear, you know, they've had a long life, they're not quite, they don't really have the energy they used to have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what you have, your love for animals, I have it with books.
That's wonderful.
I am just a bookaholic. I can't stop thinking about books. I don't go a day without thinking about books.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, I wish you could instill that in our young people, you know.
And
they're so used to television and movies and just acquiring all of those kinds of exciting moments through those types of entertainment. But, to sit down with a really good book is just... It's magical.
It is an amazing experience, and you know, you can't really convey that to somebody without them doing it themselves.
That's true.
It's very hard to say that to somebody. I have friends who read a lot, so I can compare notes, which is a wonderful thing. I mean, to be able to tell somebody how wonderful a book is and have them read it and feel that way is so rewarding.
Yes.
You can with your animals, you can share them with other people.
Yes, and we do. We're very exclusive about it at the Shambhala Preserve. We're only open one weekend a month on a reservation and a small donation. $1 million a person, you know.
How big is Shambhala? I mean, how many acres are we talking about?
It's somewhere between 35 and a little over 35 acres.
Mike, and how many people work on it total?
Five.
Five
but
people?
We don't have any contact with these lions and tigers. And we haven't for a very, very long time. They're apex predators. They have no business being around people.
Right.
So we worship them from afar, and as do our guests.
So you yourself, do you have animals yourself still?
I have a cat, and he won't let any other cats come into the house.
Oh, really? Very possessive of you.
Years ago, I adopted the whole litter of 6 kittens, and I would advise everyone to do that. We had so much fun, the 5 kittens and I, and, they lived out their lives, and towards the end, I had 2 left, and I went outside my front door one day, and this black and white cat came around the corner. I don't know how it got in the preserve, I have no idea, but he said, "Hold that door open, I'm going to live in that house now." And I had named all of my 5 kittens after actors.
I remember reading that in the book, yeah.
Yeah, and all the actors that I had worked with. And so I looked at him, I said, come on in, Johnny Depp. Now, I have always wanted to work with Johnny Depp because I think he's a wonderful actor. However, I don't know how old my Johnny Depp is right now, but it's been years. And you know that the real Johnny Depp has never offered to come and meet him?
Really?
No.
Does he know about him, do you think?
Well, I talk about him all the time.
Somewhere he must have gotten some information.
So he's either scared to death of me or I don't know what it is.
Don't you consider yourself a gentle person, though? You seem very gentle.
I'm extremely gentle, yes.
I mean, you don't seem like, you're not like your lions, you're not ferocious, you don't bite, you know.
Oh, well, don't cross me.
Don't cross you, though.
Don't cross me.
You know what's wonderful to read about your love for your daughter? And all I can think of is I wish every parent felt that way about all their kids. I mean,
No, I really do. I love her. I love being around her. I think she's one of the most interesting, delightful people I have ever met. I am so proud of her.
And that's
and her children.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to read about. And you just wish there was that much love to go around with everybody. You know, we're so, I don't know if you. I feel like there's so much judgmental stuff going on, especially nowadays. And people are very judgmental of other people.
Yes, and that's sad.
It's extremely sad. And you know, if somebody's happy doing what they are doing, you know, who are we to say they can't do it unless they're hurting somebody, you know?
Yeah, and all of those negative feelings are very stifling.
You don't
have an opportunity to be who you want to be.
Exactly. You know, and I've had trouble myself with my family accepting who I am. And, you know, it's always been rough for me because they don't understand that I'm not like them. You know, I have love for men rather than women. You know, that's just the way I am. And I don't mean overall. I'm talking about just in relationships. But you know, it's. But they never understood that. They always would say I was going to hell or something horrible was going to happen to me.
Oh, that's such old thinking. Yeah.
It is old thinking, but you can't teach somebody like that new when they don't understand that. You know,
and they don't want to understand.
Yeah, and then they resent and they don't want to deal with it. You know, it's very difficult.
Very sad.
If you realize what you were really doing to somebody, I think hopefully you would stop doing it. But I don't know. You know, I wonder how you've fed all these lions and animals over the years.
Well, not by hand.
But I mean, I'm thinking more of the expense.
Of the financial, yeah. Well, fortunately, we have a lot of people who care about what we're doing here, the rescuing of these big cats from some of them, you know, awful situations, so we have a lot of supporters, and I welcome that, and I couldn't do it by myself. I mean, it's very expensive, because these animals are in large areas. They're not in little, 8x10 cages or 10x15 or anything like that. They're in acres of land, and so that they have a good life here at the Shambhala Preserve. And I hope everybody who's listening will look us up at Shambhala, shambhala.org, and look us up and see what we do and how the animals live and their They're very protected. They're very safe. We have the best veterinary care. We feed them the best foods. They're all healthy. We don't have any fat ones. We don't have any skinny ones. They're just really, really in good health. And my staff love them. And it's really a beautiful place. We're on a river. Of course, we've had such a drought that the river is very skinny right now. And we have a lake and lots of trees. And we have two tigers now who are up in quarantine still. I think they come out in a week. And they're the biggest tigers I've ever met. I looked at them and I said, I didn't know horses had stripes.
You are so charming. I mean, you really are. I mean, one can't help but fall in love with you just talking to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Because of you, and maybe that sounds a little bizarre. You know, I don't know. It's coming from my heart, but it doesn't mean anything other than what I mean it is, you know.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm looking at all these awards that you have. Good God.
Isn't that amazing?
I don't know. Is it possible for somebody to have that many awards?
Well, I've got them. I have a museum. I have a museum on the preserve, and things that I love and that I'm proud of, and they're all on a wall. Yeah, they're all there.
I look at all these and I think, oh my God! I mean, how many actresses can say that?
I don't know.
Have you had a full life already?
Yes, I have, and I'm going to continue.
And you're making more movies, I see.
Spill over. Yeah.
You're not done making movies.
No. I don't think so, but it's not the most important thing in my life.
What is the most important right now?
The Shambhala Preserve.
Yeah, I figured you would say that.
And the animals, yes.
And I think that's wonderful. I really do. And everybody has what they love and they love. There's a special thing with animals, as we all know. You know, you feel that kinship with them. And
yes.
Not everybody feels that.
No, they don't. And to me, that's kind of sad because it's such a joy. To have an animal know you and like you and show that, those emotions.
My dad didn't like animals all that much, and he would say, well, I don't know why you want animals. They only die on you.
That's bad thinking.
And
that's not being open to life.
I think he was hoping that my mom would feel the same way at some point and stop getting animals. Because my mom was like you. If there was a herd animal, she would take it in.
Oh, good.
And she, you know, the birds. And it was, a lot of times it was birds. People would bring birds over. I found this bird laying and it was hurt and I didn't know what to do, so I called you. You know? And she loved doing it. I mean, she absolutely, it gave her such joy.
Isn't that amazing that her husband wouldn't share that?
Nope, he didn't share it at all. In fact, I think he was annoyed by it. In fact, I know he was. But
well, then there must have been other qualities about him that she loved.
Yeah, yes, I'm sure there was.
A lot to put up with that.
Exactly. That's hard to put up with. When you see a hurt animal, how can you not want to do something for it? You know.
No, there would have to. I would think there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, you, I mean, I don't know how many animals you've taken in. I'd love to know the total number.
I don't know either.
But I mean, but you never, it's like, in reading the book, you never really stopped to think. You just did it. You just did what you felt you had to do.
Absent, wanted to do.
And wanted to do, yes, absolutely. And that's the big thing, the wanting to do it. I mean, there are people that would love to help, but maybe they don't feel comfortable with animals as much as you do.
Well, especially when you think of the animals that I've taken in. There's some, we had two African elephants that lived here with us.
And there's a picture of you with one, I think, in the book, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
And you had a second one. And I love
Timbo and Cora.
I love when you bring Cora in and the joy that Timbo feels. I mean, like you can feel it.
And you know, that was we were very nervous about that because what if they didn't like each other? What would we have done?
I mean, you get nervous, but you get through everything. I mean, you're a determined woman.
I guess I am.
All right, well, I'm reading the book wrong, or it's there in the book. I should read it again. Maybe it's not. No, it is there. I mean, you're a determined woman.
Yes, I am.
And that's a great way to be. I mean, you're not going to give up for anything.
Well, I don't think I have yet.
No.
And I hope I never do.
Was there one moment in your life that was the most frightening of all?
A couple of times with dealing with the big cats, yes.
Did you ever have a feeling you were going to die?
No. Never.
But you did feel that. What did you feel? How did that feel?
Just kind of like, how am I going to get out of this situation?
But you knew you would, though.
Oh, I did, yes.
And it runs all through the book, and of course we know because you're still alive. But still.
That's a good point.
That's right. But I mean, still reading the book, you think, well, how in the world is she going to get through this mess here? And I'm not trying to belittle it, but it just was, you know, there's so many things that have happened to you in the course of your lifetime, and people around you, and I think of John, his name is John DeBont? John DeBont. I was close. I think he did. Did he do the movie Speed?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I thought so.
He came out of Speed and we jumped right in with us. And he was hurt very badly.
That scene is just chilling. Yeah. It's chilling. All I could think of was, oh, I hope he's all right.
You know? God. When I looked over at him and I saw his scalp, literally he was scalped.
Oh.
I just screamed. I can't believe I didn't faint. But I didn't.
Do you have as much empathy for animals as you do for humans? Do you feel the same kind of empathy for them?
I think I feel more for the animals.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think people can stay out of situations and not, you know, but animals don't have a choice.
Yeah, and yeah, that's very true. There's a lot of truth in that. But you've had three husbands?
I have.
Three husbands.
Mm-hmm. And three and out.
Three and out. Three and done, right?
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with what the veterinarian did. Now, I'll let people who haven't read the book experience. I don't want to spoil too much about the book, but...
No, I didn't like it either.
And I was cheering for you reading the book last night. I was like, you go, you tell him, you know, and you can't help but feel that way.
Yeah.
Because
it was really a rotten trick.
And I'm like, no way he really did that. No way. Why would somebody do that to somebody they loved? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
That's the big question.
Yes, and that was pretty evident to me that there was a strange kind of love there that I wasn't interested in anymore.
I have to ask you, what is Don Johnson like?
You know, he has become a really good friend. Absolutely. He's just wonderful. He has a wonderful children, and I like them a lot. And it's really nice.
I can't help but I love watching.
You know, this is part of my daughter as well, that she was able to have these, you know, three different marriages, but and all of the children get along, and everybody, she has made it so that no matter what, everybody is welcome at her house and friendly, and we all have the big dinners together, all of us.
How do you let go of anger, though, like that? If there's any kind of anger, I mean, I'm sure with your three marriages there was some anger there. I mean, how do you let all that go?
Well, you have to really know what you're doing, and I don't blame any of them for our relationships failing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't blame anybody for that.
That's the easy part, trying to blame somebody else, but to look and say, well, maybe it's not all of them. Maybe part of it's me, too. Yeah, that's very difficult.
Yeah, you bet it is. You bet, but, you know, you learn, too, and that's why I'm saying no more. I'm not going to do it again.
But when you can admit that you've done wrong, what a great feeling that is, to let it out and to And
you know what it does? It keeps a lot of lines out of your face.
That's true.
It really does, because you're not thinking in negativity.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's my advice to everybody.
How did...
Knock it off.
One of the questions I have is, you mentioned Karen Valentine lived near you. I don't know if she's...
Yeah, she lived up the hill.
How did she handle knowing you had all those animals? And how did that...
Well, a lot of people didn't know.
They didn't know. They had no clue.
They didn't know. In fact, they didn't know until one of the little lions, and we didn't have big, grown lions and tigers at the house. We had the little cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them grew to the point where he could look over the fence, and the neighbor looked up and said, "That's a lion." And the next morning, 6 a.m., pounding on the door, was animal control.
Well, that must have been horrible.
Well, it was not horrible, but did you have... making a movie, and we had to get to know them, and they wouldn't be with us very long. And he said, "Well, you've got that right, lady. You've got 24 hours to get them off your property."
Well, horrible in the sense that you were afraid you would lose your animals. I don't know if maybe you didn't feel that way. Maybe that was...
No, I didn't feel that way. No. And that wasn't what he imparted either.
Oh, okay.
It was a warning to that, you aren't allowed to keep predators in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Within the city limits, you can't.
But that's...
And you have to have permits, and you have to have all this other stuff, So we weren't, that was what we were intending on doing. I mean, we weren't trying to get away with anything.
You work with somebody that I have adored for so many years.
Ooh.
I am so jealous of you. Lindsay Wagner.
Oh, she's a wonderful lady.
I have been in love with that woman for so many years.
Does she know?
No. She might know through Harlan, because she sent me an autographed picture. It means the world to me, because I just love.
Oh, that's so
nice. I have loved her for so many years. I just get so much joy out of watching her.
Uh-huh.
And that sounds really weird, but I mean on TV, and there's something about her that's just so wonderful.
Well, that's wonderful that you feel that way.
Yeah, and I could probably never tell her, though. I do hear she's working on a book at some point, but
good. Well, then you can read all about it.
I will be so nervous. You can't, even more nervous than I was before I called you, but
cool.
Yeah. But I mean, there's certain people that you just fall in love with watching them, and you can't. I mean, we all do that, don't we?
Wait a minute. What time is it? 3:40. Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. I have I don't have another appointment till 4.
They told me 45 minutes would be okay, but that's...
Yeah, well, that's true. It's not 4 o'clock yet either. We're okay.
But I mean, right. do you have somebody famous or that you felt that way about, that you just fell head over heels for? Not, I mean, just because you did? I'm talking about somebody you didn't marry or weren't involved with. Was there somebody that you felt that way about?
Oh, I think my first love. Yeah, when I was in high school. I mean, I don't think you ever forget your first love, do you?
No.
Oh, I still. His name was Richard McFarland, and it was in Minneapolis, and we were at West High School, and we had just a wonderful relationship. I really liked him so much.
Did you keep in touch with him even after?
A little bit. But my parents moved to California from Minneapolis, and that sort of splits you up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot.
One of the things you have in your book that I've never seen before is the list at the end of all your famous friends. I love that.
You know something? I've had so many people call me and say, "Oh, I couldn't believe it that you mentioned me." And when you get to be as in the age that I have become, there's a lot of people who were very important in your life. And
I'm looking at the list now, and I'm thinking
it was such a joy to not only write it, but to think about all those wonderful people. And I didn't get everybody, and I'm and I know I will go on forever.
Sophia Loren is still with us, isn't she? Yeah.
But as far as I know.
Yeah, as far as I know, too.
Yeah.
You never really know for sure, do you? Well, you're friends with her, so you would know. But
yeah, but she's in Italy. You know, it's hard. It's difficult. It's difficult to...
Watching Suzanne Pleshette in The Birds, I mean, it's one of... I don't know, was that one of her first film roles, or did she have...
No, I think she had established herself pretty well by the time she did.
She's another strong-willed woman.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I liked her so much. And she died way too young.
And, yeah, 70, I think. I looked up and... Because I didn't think she was still with us. And of course, Jessica Tandy, another strong... I mean, watching her in the gym game. Good God. That woman really had some talent.
Yes, she did. Broadway and... Oh, she was just awesome.
I wanted to talk to you about the gangrene.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
You had... Now, had you not gone to the hospital that night, what would have happened to you?
It was... Well, I probably would be missing half my leg. it's my right leg. I still have a great scar. Yeah.
Are you in any kind of pain at all?
No.
No pain at all?
Not a bit.
Even as we speak, no pain anywhere?
No.
That's remarkable.
Isn't it?
It is.
I think it's because I exercise every day.
What, dare I ask you how many scars you have?
Oh... You know, I'm gonna make a map of my body sometime and figure it out.
That's wonderful. I mean,
I started out with an operation on my foot, on my left foot, and that stopped me. I wanted to be a figure skater, and I was practicing and practicing, and my parents couldn't afford the lessons, but two of my friends were figure skaters as well, and their parents were rich enough to have them take lessons, so they invited me to watch. I couldn't skate with them, but I could watch and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go back to, you know, Minnesota, there's 10,000 lakes, so there's no problem in an area to practice. And I'd go home and practice all the things that I had seen, and that's what I wanted to be.
Well, you certainly had the elegance for it.
Well, I really wanted to do that, but the operation on my foot, and all those years ago, the doctors were saying, well, you can't skate for the rest of the year. And the next year, I had an appendectomy
mm-hmm.
that was, you know, it was a serious one and brought on really, really fast. And the doctor said, I can't skate for the rest of the year. So that 2 years consecutively kind of took off.
Oh, wow. Otherwise, you might have become... Peggy Fleming, who knows?
Would have been, Sonia Heine.
You know, I love that scene in The Birds where you take those birds to Rod Taylor, you stick them in his house, and he doesn't know it. I love that scene.
Oh, it was fun to do, too. Oh, and they played a trick on me, too, when we did that scene. They had me come in a door, and, you know, so the door was closed, and I was standing back, and we rehearsed and all of that, and then it came to actually do the shot, and so I was standing, there was the wall from the studio, and then the set, and the door was closed, so I couldn't see anybody anywhere, and I was waiting for my cue, and I waited, and I waited, and finally, I just sort of opened the door and kind of peeked around, and they had all left the set.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, they're playing a joke on me. I'm going to get them.
And did you?
Yeah. I walked around to the end of the set and turned the corner, and I could see them all huddling together. And I went in back of the where they were and opened the door, and I went, boo!
Oh,
and
wow.
They all jumped like...
You see, you got them good.
I got them.
That's incredible. You probably have a lot of stories like that. We don't even have time to go through them all.
No, but those are the things that make life fun, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm all for that.
So who do you have lunch with today? Do you ever call up a celebrity, a friend of yours, and just go to lunch?
No, you know, I'm so far away from everybody. I live out at the preserve. I live with in fact, I'm looking at a sleeping tiger right now.
Really?
Her name is Mona.
Oh.
She's in a high, you know, with high grasses, and she's sound asleep.
Oh.
A good nap.
Do some of your celebrity friends come to visit Chambawa?
Oh, on occasion, yeah. But, you know, where I'm an hour away from, and that's with no traffic. So it's, you know, people don't just come out for a cup of tea or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. They just can't show up out of the blue.
Yeah.
They have to be pretty brave and do all the way out, you know, just to get to where you are, I guess.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
But what a reward they would get if they did, you know?
Well, and you can count. We're open one weekend a month, and it's always a delight. It's just wonderful. You can bring your picnic and sit around the lake with us and under the shade of our beautiful trees and have lunch and your picnic, you know. It's a wonderful adventure.
Now I haven't mentioned that you cannot taste food even today.
I can't. I have no sense of taste or smell.
Does that bother you a lot?
Well, it bothers me. Of course, it's two of your senses.
Right.
You know, so I have to be very careful. I had to have all the gas appliances taken out of the house because I couldn't smell the gas.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, it gets to be very serious. I have to eat when I travel. I have to eat something that everybody else is eating because I couldn't tell if it was bad.
My cat, Daphne, just brushed against me. She wants to be part of the interview, too.
Well, can't blame her.
She's a tortoise shell cat. She's beautiful.
Yeah. And my cat's sound asleep.
What's the most wonderful thing about cats, and you know this, is how affectionate they are and the affection that they show you. You know, it's just...
Yes. And you know that they, when they do, they really mean it. I mean, it isn't just a, you know, this is what we do all the time.
She's purring.
Cats
crazy,
are,
right?
Cats are, oh, yeah, isn't that wonderful?
The purring. There's something about purring, I think, that really just calms you down if you're not calm. You come home and your cat's purring. Oh, my God. I mean, does it get any better than that?
Nope. Nope, it doesn't.
You don't even hesitate when you say that.
No, that's the best.
In The Birds, I was watching, I think, Veronica Cartwright's in it.
Uh-huh.
And I just interviewed her sister, Angela, like a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and her voice sounds just like her sister's. It's like, oh, my God, you can tell they're related.
Yeah.
The voice is there, and it's like, wow, they're like, you just know it, and it's just an amazing voice.
You know, yeah, I think my sister Patty and I sound alike, too.
And what does Patty do?
Patty was a housewife
and
mother.
Has she ever been to Shambhala?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
I didn't know whether she... Does she have a love for animals like you do?
Yeah, but I went overboard.
Yeah.
I took it to an extreme.
Yeah, but you don't consider it overboard, though. You love it.
No, I don't. No. This is my life.
That's who you are. That's what you love, and nobody should ever be able to take that away from you. I mean,
they couldn't.
What you've done for animals, you know, is very incredible.
Well,
you and Betty White too. You know?
Betty loves this place. Yeah.
What a thrill! I mean, what a thrill! What a life you've had! And
I have had a splendid life.
Is there anything?
And it still is. It still is.
Is there anything that you still want to do? I mean, specifically?
Pretty much. I've been around the world. I went around the world all by myself when I was, 23?
Wow. And that's one thing about your book that I love, that you loved to be alone. That you are just...
I'm very happy alone.
And a lot of people don't feel that way. A lot of people get so antsy when they're alone, they don't want... I love to be alone. I love solitary. I love to be... But I also get to the point where I want to be around other people, too.
Oh, and you should. Otherwise, you become weird.
You become really weird.
You don't want to do that.
What you said to Alma that day about her being able to stop Alfred.
Yes,
what an incredible, that's like the most powerful scene in the book.
But when she looked at me, you know, and I said, but you could stop it. And her eyes kind of glazed over and she turned and walked away.
Like she wasn't even going to consider it.
Yeah.
And like, how dare you even bring it up?
That too.
You just wonder, why would a woman put up with that? Why would she?
Boy, you got me. I don't know. That's not my personality.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, the fact that he was a genius as a director, that I don't think anybody would.
There's a lot of geniuses that are perfectly fine, wonderful,
right.
Upstanding.
Oh, I wasn't going to make an excuse for him. I was just saying the fact that he was that genius as a director, you know,
without a doubt.
I mean, and that doesn't excuse what he did. No, I wasn't going there, but.
Yeah, you better not, because you'll have a fight.
That's right. And I should, because what you went through, nobody should have to ever go through.
That's right.
But do you get people that write to you that do you ever get famous people that write to you that say they've gone through what you went through?
No.
No?
No, I haven't. But I know that there are those people who have gone through that same thing. I mean, it's legion since men and women were born.
Exactly. Well, I'm sorry?
It's nothing new.
No. I am just so happy that you're happy, that you've made it through all this, and that, God, that you've been able to get through this. I have such affection for you just for being able to do that, and that you've...
Well, you know what? My respect for myself is very high, and I will keep it that way. I will not let myself become involved in a situation in which I'm not happy, or that I would be embarrassing to me. And all of those feelings have served me very well. You know, I feel good about what I do and stopped what I don't like, you know.
Yeah, and what an amazing tribute you are to that. I mean, you give hope to everybody just reading this book.
Oh, thank you.
The fact that you never gave up, and you tell and you show people that by writing this book, that you don't ever give up, is an amazing thing.
Well, thank you so much.
It means a lot to me. And it means, I mean, when we all have had moments, I don't know, I mean, I've had moments where you wanted to give up. Something frustrated you to the point where you just felt like you wanted to give up. But you didn't really. You just felt that little momentary feeling.
Well, I think everybody has those feelings, you know?
But you have soldiered on through everything, and what you've done for animals, what you've done for other people, is an amazing, amazing thing.
Well, you know, I called my book The Open Door, because I've lived my life with, you know, all of these doors that were flung open in front of me, and if I liked what was on the other side, I walked through. And I almost called my book The Open Door.
That's incredible.
We all have things that are offered to us, and, you know, we either like it or we don't. And I've lived my life that way
You're an inspiration times 100. I mean, really, you are.
Well, thank you.
And that means... I'm sure it means a lot to you, and it means a lot to all of us. And anybody who reads the book is going to feel that way. That's just incredible.
Thank you so much. That's a great honor that you've just given me. Thank you.
Well,
you know what? I have to say goodbye to you now because I've got another.
It's been an absolute pleasure. I can't tell you what this has meant to me.
Well, this is wonderful. I hope you'll come out to Shambhala and see us.
Oh, I would love to sometime. The new book again is called Tippy, and it is out from William Marr and all your bookstores. And thank you. This has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay.
Thank you.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you. And we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.